نعم ان شاء الله هذه الموضوع that which was fabricated for many reasons by Allah it was created. The hadith that is classified as موضوع is a hadith that has been fabricated by a person and attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that distinguishes the hadith which is da'if from the hadith that is fabricated. A hadith that is da'if is a hadith that we cannot trust its authenticity to be attributed to the Prophet. The hadith that is mawdu' is a statement, a word that is fabricated by a person, and then that person gave this fabrication a chain of a fabricated chain of narration and claimed it to be the Prophet. The hadith that are fabricated cannot go unnoticed. It will be discovered by the scholars of the hadith. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. It's we who reveal the dhikr, and it's we who are going to preserve it. So Allah revealed the dhikr, and Allah is going to preserve the dhikr. The process of preserving the dhikr, as we have mentioned and explained many times, is to reserve the wording of the dhikr and the explanation, the interpretation, and the clarification of the dhikr. What is the dhikr? Al-Qur'an. What is the explanation and the clarification of the dhikr? The sunnah. So when Allah promised to protect the dhikr, this promise implies to protect the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, all fabricated accounts, they will be discovered. And they have been discovered throughout the time, throughout the history of Islam. And how they were discovered is by the effort of the scholars who exhausted their life in studying the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and recording the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, they are able to distinguish that which is of the Prophet and that which is not. People fabricate a hadith for several reasons. Some they do that purposely to destroy Islam. Purpose. They are hypocrites. They pretend they are Muslim, and then they fabricate a hadith to destroy Islam. Some they do that to support their mazhab. Did you hear that?
Yes.
This is how far people go sometimes to support their mazhab. And some fabricate a hadith in order to call people to Islam. They fabricate a hadith that they seem to be encouraging people to do righteous deeds, and they say by fabricating those hadith we are serving Islam. An example of those who fabricated a hadith who they think they are serving Islam is Naysara bin Amr Rabbu al-Faraji. This person he fabricated a hadith concerning the virtue of al-Islam or the virtues of al-Quran. An example of a person who fabricates a hadith for madhab reason is a person by the name of Ma'mun bin Ahmad al-Harawi. Ma'mun bin Ahmad al-Harawi. It was said to him, are you aware of the Shafi'i and all of those who follow him in Khorasan? He said, it was reported to us by Ahmad bin Abdul Bar, by Abdullah bin Ma'madan al-Azdi, and Anas Marfu'an. He fabricated a chain of narration that he said, يَكُونُ فِي أُمَّةِ رَجُلْ يُقَالُ لَهُ مُحَمَّدْ بِنْ إِبْلِيسِ أَضَرُّ عَلَى أُمَّةِ مِنْ إِبْلِيسِ وَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّةِ رَجُلْ يقال له أبو حنيفة هو سراج أمتي. He said, in my nation there will be a man by the name of Muhammad bin Idris. He is more powerful to my nation than Idris. And in my nation there will be a man by the name of Abu Hanifa. And he is the lamp, the lantern of my nation. Muhammad bin Idris is an Imam Shafi'i. So this is clear how this person is fabricating this hadith and giving it a chain of narration. Also, some people fabricate a hadith to come closer to the rulers and those who are in control, as it was done by a person by his name, I think, Ziyad bin Ibrahim al-Naqai. That this person, he met al-Mahdi, and that was one of the rulers. And this ruler was, you know, playing with his pigeon. And he told him that it was narrated to us, he fabricated a chain of narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no competition except in the sea or animals that have hoofs or hafiyah, meaning the camels and the horses. And this is a true statement, but he added to it, or we, or jama'ah, because that specific person was having the vision. So he added that to the statement in order to appease or to please the ruler of that time. So this is some of the reasons for which people fabricate a hadith. Also, there is another person by Muhammad bin Ukasha al-Karamani. It was said to him that some people, they raise their hands when they are praying, while they are making their ruku'. So he fabricated a chain of narration and he come up with a statement and he attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it says, whoever raises his hand in the ruku', there is no prayer for him. So this is fabrication. How fabrication is discovered? Fabrication is discovered when a person is known to be a liar by following him and investigating his standing, he is known to be a liar. He's classified in the liar category of reporters. Thus, anything that this person say what might be classified as mawdu'. Also, the hadith could be discovered as mawdu' because linguistically it may be weak. We know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most fluent person in speaking Arabic. So when a statement in Arabic that is weak linguistically or grammatically is weak attributed to the Prophet, we know that it is a fabricated statement. As in the hadith it says, لا تسيدوني في الصلاة. According to the verb and to the grammar, if that was correct, it should be لا تسيدوني, not لا تسيدوني. The reporter say لا تسيدوني. So this is grammatically wrong to say it like that. It has to, if that was correct, it should have been لا تسيدوني. So we know this is a fabrication because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is fluent in speaking Arabic and he would not make a mistake. Also, hadith is discovered to be mawdu' by the confession of those who fabricated the hadith. Sometimes they confess. A hadith may sometimes discover to be mawdu' when a person is caught in a lie. As if the tower of a hadith documents the birth and the death of different reporters and the residency. If a person comes and he says, I met so and so in the year of 250. But that so and so who was claiming he met him at 250, he died at 245. So it could not possibly he had met him. So when those fabricators, when they fabricate the stories and they give dates that do not match with the record, they are discovered to be lying. Now we're going to study three more ahadith, three more classifications. But this classification, those following three classifications, are not related to the authenticity of the hadith, but they are related to whom the statement is attributed. It's not related to the authenticity of the hadith, but it's related to who the statement is attributed. Without giving consideration to its authenticity. It says, Al-Mawqu' ends with a chosen. Al-Mawqu' ends with a companion. Al-Mawqu' ends with a follower. Learn him all, my beloved servant. A hadith that is given the classification as Mawqu' is a hadith that is attributed to the Prophet. A statement that is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regardless of its authenticity. That Mawqu' could be authentic or it could be not. But when you say this is a Mawqu' statement, it means it's attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. that which is attributed to the Prophet, it could be attributed by to his speech, or to his action, or to his approval. An example of something that is attributed to his speech is the famous statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Verily, action by the intention. An example of something that is attributed to the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it was reported that the Prophet made wudu, so he wiped on his kufr. This is the action. An example of the approval of the Prophet, that he asked the girl, where is Allah? She came above the sky, he approved. So all of that is classified under Maqsood. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه والذين تبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما الحديث الموضوع؟
Hadith that was fabricated and claimed to be a statement of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Fabricated. What are the reasons for fabricating statements?
To purposely destroy Islam and to support one's method.
He used to make a hadith about the virtue of Quran. What is the verdict, for a person who fabricates a hadith? What is the hukum, the rule, of a person who fabricates a hadith? Is it permissible? Why not? What is the evidence? What is the
evidence? Yes. All things for him are due to the community of the community of the community. So I'll be too much of the community. So everything that lives.
Don't you know, this is a general evidence. You need a specific evidence for that detail.
The hadith says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and whoever lies on you intentionally to then take a piece of fire.
من كذب عليه متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whenever you are to bring evidence for an issue, sometimes for any issue it might be a general evidence and a specific evidence. When there is a specific evidence, you have to bring the specific evidence before you bring the general evidence. For example, somebody says, is it permissible to fast on Monday? You might say, yes. What is the evidence for that? See, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ صَامَ يَوْمًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بَاعَدَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَهُ عَلَى النَّارِ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. Whoever passed a day for the sake of Allah, Allah will put his face away from hellfire the journey equal to 7 years of travel. So that is applicable to Monday and to any other day. But we have specific evidence pointing about the virtues of fasting on Monday. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, those are the two days, Monday and Thursday, on which the deeds of the day will be examined. So I like my deeds to be examined while I am fasting. Then we started discussing marfu'. What is the hadith that is marfu'?
Marfu' is attributed to the Prophet
sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Marfu' or four. But the hadith of Ibn Affan is marfu' that means it is authentic. The hadith is classified as marfu'. It is a context, true or false. Question to you.
If it's classified as marfu', then it's authentic.
Yes, so the hadith classified as marfu'. That means it is a context, true or false. No, tell me true or false.
True.
Are you sure?
No, maybe because...
Are you sure? A hadith that is classified as marfu'. We will see about that. A hadith that is classified as marfu', that means it is a subject, true or false. False?
Because it could be a thing.
Are you
sure? Just define that. Because the ruling of Mansur is only according to who it's attributed to. It doesn't necessarily mean it's authentic.
Correct. You have to understand this point. Give me an example of a Mansur statement to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Would you hear that?
No.
In your body and in your brain or only in one of them? So we're going to make it more difficult. You have to say it in Arabic. There's a hadith that everybody knows. Remember?
No.
Now we're going to move to something that is classified as mawqu'. Mawqu' comes with a companion, a statement, an action, or an approval of a companion. That which ends or attributed to the companion is classified as mawqu'. Classified as mawqu'. But from of that which the companion do or say, it is considered mawqu'. Considered mawqu'. The Arabic term is mawqu' hukman. Mawqu' hukman. How is it mawqu'? Hukman. How is it marfu'? Hukman means by rule. Consider marfu'. If the companion speaks, if a companion speaks to us about things that will happen on the day of judgment. This companion does not know that and yet he was told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even though the companion does not say, I was told by the Prophet, but when he talks about something that is not known by education, then it is considered as maqtu' hukman. As long as this companion, and this is a very important condition, is not the one who receives information from the account of the children of Israel. Because receiving information from the account of the children of Israel is permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَجِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَا حَرَجِ. He has three companions that they are known and they were favored to obtain information from the accounts of the children of Israel. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-'As, one of them, وعبدالله بن عباس is another one. So, if, for example, Abdullah ibn Abbas speaks to us about things of the unseen, he will not be able to know this information but on his own accord. So that means either he receives this information from the Prophet or he heard it from the account of the children of Israel. That since Abdullah ibn Abbas was known to receive information from the children of Israel, when he speaks about things of unknown, we do not accept his statement as maqtu' hukma. But if we have another prophet, if we have another companion who tells us about things of the unknown, شيء يتعلق بالغيب, things that have not happened in the grave, or things that have to be with the veil of vision, and this person does not receive information, does not receive information from the children of Israel, then we give his statement the classification as maqtu' hukma. Also, when a companion gives a ruling in Islam that cannot be based on his own ijtihad. We repeat again, when a companion gives a ruling that cannot be based on his own ijtihad, then this ruling is classified as maqtu' hukma. Or when a companion does something that he cannot do it based on his own ijtihad, this action is classified as maqtu' hukma. Like Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he was reported apparently that he prayed Salatul Kusur with more than two rukus in each rak'ah. Since this is an act of worship, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu cannot established this practice on his own accord. He must have a teaching from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to support it. Therefore, it is classified as maqtu' hukma. Having said that, there is something that has the status of maqtu'. There are some statements of the companion, it has the status of al-marfu'. Example of that, when a companion came, من السنة كذا, it is the sunnah to do this, then that is having this statement, it has the status of marfu'. For example, Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, he read Surah Al-Fatiha in the funeral prayer, and then he said, for you to know, it is the sunnah. Also, something is attributed to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That practice, it has the status of marfu'. For example, Asma' bint Abi Bakr radiyallahu anha wa anhu, she said, لَحَرْنَا فَرَةً عَلَى عَبْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَأَكَلْنَاهُ. We slaughtered a horse during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and we ate the horse. So this practice was attributed to the era of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is classified as it has the status of marfu'. And in the narration, the hadith does not say the Prophet heard of that practice. It could be described with obvious knowledge. But if he did not know Allah, no. And since Allah did not give to the Prophet any information concerning the impermissibility of this practice, then this practice is considered a valid practice, and the hadith that reported is classified as it has the status of marfu'. Also, statements have the status of marfu' is when the companion says, نُهِيْنَا عَنْ كَذَا, أُمِرْنَا بِكَذَا, we were commanded to do this, or we were prohibited from doing that. This is your statement, they have the status of marfu'. Now let us find a statement that is classified as marfu' only. The statement of a companion. It was authentically reported that Ali ibn Abi Talib said, حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ بِمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَتُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُكَذَّبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Who can translate for me this hadith? Correct. Have you heard it before?
That's not a word.
It says, tell the people, or discuss with the people, those obtain a word, those subjects that people are aware of. Otherwise, the people will disbelieve the statement of Allah and His Messenger. This statement has to have explanation. With Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu saying to whomever he was speaking to, speak to the people about things that they know, that statement has to be explained, because there is no point to speak to the people about things that they know. But it means speak to the people about things that they have the ability to comprehend. They have the ability to deal with. And do not tell them about things that will be a surprising nature to him. Even though what you are saying is correct, but as if the people are more familiar with what you're saying, even though what you are saying is correct, do not say it to him. Because when you say it to him, they're not going to believe you. And by not believing you, as if they are not believing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a very important principle in making da'wah to the people. Many times you see things people do are wrong. But that wrong which they are doing, they have been doing for the longest time. So if you tell this person what you are doing is wrong, the element of the crime will prevent him from believing you. The element of the crime will prevent this person from believing you. So you have to be with the people, be with them to the level of the ability, their ability of understanding. But the Imam started reading Al-Fatiha as he said, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Who the few people who do, they obsess with his recitation, even though this is the correct recitation. But they're not familiar with it. So that will cause chaos amongst the people. So the sunnah is not to surprise the people with sunnah practices that you know of, but the sunnah is to bring the people gradually to be familiar with the sunnah. Not to surprise the people with the sunnah that you know of all of a sudden, but to gradually bring people to the sunnah. So this is an example of a mawqoof statement. Now we want to study that which is maqsoor. Al-maqsoor ends with a following. Learn then all my beloved brothers. So something that is classified as maqsoor is a statement that is attributed to a tabi'i. Who is a tabi'i? The one who met the companion. Who is the companion? The one who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and died as a believer. And the companion died as a believer. I remember I would say a person who met the companion. A person who met the Prophet, regardless whether he saw him or not. Because a person might be blind. He met the Prophet, but he did not see him. So we say a person who met the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then this person died as a believer, he is classified as a companion. So a statement that is classified as maqsoor is a statement of al-tabi', a statement of a follower. There is another hadith or another classification, but I did not mention it here in the poem, and that is al-hadith al-qudsi. The statement that is attributed to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But it's not Quran. Statement that is attributed to Allah and say qala Allah, but it's not Quran. This is called al-hadith al-qudusi, the divine hadith. An example of that is what Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala reported in his sahih, that it says inni harramtu hurma ala nafsi. قال الله عز وجل إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته محرما بينهم. Your Ikhwan is more Ikhwan. If you look up this hadith and read to us the hadith next time we meet, inshallah, it's entire. And this Ikhwan is assigned to Abd al-Rahman. Now we're going to deal with a classification concerning the continuity of an hadith. A continuity of the hadith. It says, Al-Muslim ends with the messenger through a connected chain of reporters. So Al-Muslim is that statement or action or approval that is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it has a connected chain of reporters. But that in itself does not make it authentic, because in this connected chain of reporters there might be a weak person. You understand? You understand this point? Now, pay attention. I'm going to say this statement and see if you fool or if a fool. Pay attention. Every Muslim is marfu', but not every marfu' is Muslim. Every Muslim is Masur, but not every Masur is Muslim. Every Masur is Muslim. Every Masur is Muslim, correct? Why not?
The marfu' is in the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you say every marfu' is a musnad, every marfu' might have a continuous train of...
Very good. This is what I want to say. Very good. Now, say, that which is connected to itself, it's called al-muqtasil, my friend. So al-muqtasil is connected to itself. The companion or a tabi'i, the follower. But the musnad, that which is connected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the difference between a musnad and a muqtasil. But those definitions, they are not agreed upon by the scholars of hadith, those technical definitions. You have to be aware of that. As you study more of that kind, you're going to find some might define the muqtasil also to include that which is connected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-musalsal reported keeping the time, like he spoke to me with a smile. Al-Musalsal, it means a hadith that is narrated keeping a certain style in that hadith. Reporting the account with a certain expression which was repeated throughout the chain of narration. So each reporter will do this expression, say this expression, or do this gesture as he is reporting the hadith. It has no bearing on the authenticity of the hadith. This is al-musalsal. Having said that, inshaAllah, we stop here and we allow time for your questions. And next time we study Al-Ghareeb, inshaAllah, Al-Aziz, Al-Mashkoor, and all of those will be classified as Ahad, and then we study Al-Mutawatir. Any questions? If you have a question concerning an explanation, not concerning spelling or spelling of a word, ask. But if it's concerning spelling of a word, you leave that to the end, inshaAllah.
Al-Mutawatir?
Al-Mutawatir.
Al-Mutawatir. Before it's even a vowel. Or even the report itself. A certain style of the reporters.
The reporting. For example, it could be said, he said to me while smiling. Then the second reporter, he said, so and so told me this while smiling, and he will smile to you too. The reporter will do that smile to the recipient reporter. And when the recipient reporter turns to be a dispenser reporter, will do that same expression to the other dispenser reporter.
So the hadith is classified as for Hukman. Is that any less like, for instance, the hadith that is not for?
Yes. It's something that is classified as marfu' hukman, and something that is classified as marfu'. The marfu' has more weight to it if those two contradict in any way, and there is no way to reconciliate between the evidence in the weight is given to al marfu'.
What is the difference between al marfu'?
Al-Musnad and Al-Muqtasid. Al-Musnad, it is connected all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's classified as Musnad. Any account that is attributed to the Prophet with a connected chain of narration is classified as Musnad. Whereas Al-Muqtasid is any account that is attributed to a chain of narration to other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it could be to the companion or to the follower. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداهم إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، what is a hadith that is classified as Muslim? What is the hadith that is classified as Muqtasid? Okay, true or false? Every marfu' hadith is musnad. False?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying every marfu' hadith is musnad. True or false?
False.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah.
Justify.
Because the marfu' is only talking about who it's attributed to, and not talking anything about the chain of narration.
in 204 is the Musnad Hadith is Marfu'. Are you sure?
Yes.
True? Are you sure? The every Muslim hadith is not so.
Yes, because it helps us to define it as children.
A hadith that is musalsal is authentic, true or false? True, because that's true. A musalsal hadith is authentic, true or false?
You say every or a?
No, I'm saying every musalsal hadith is authentic, true or false. Now we're going to start the new topic, inshallah. And we are going to be having the discussion concerning how many reporters are involved in the transmission of the hadith in every level of reporting. What is meant by every level of reporting or by every tabaqa is the tabaqa that represents the dispensary reporter to the recipient reporter. So we're going to discuss the classifications of hadith concerning how many people are involved in the transmission. It says one person reported al-ghareeb, not understand the knowledge and keep. One person reported al-ghareeb, understand the knowledge and keep. Al-ghareeb linguistically means something that is lonely. That was it linguistically means. A hadith that is classified as a ghareeb is a hadith in one tabaqa or more, only one person transmitted this account. In one tabaqa or more, only one person or one reporter transmitted the account. Tabaqa means the level of reporting. It's imperative for you to understand what tabaqa means. We say there is a chain of narration. Those who are closer to the original speaker pass it on to the younger generation or to the younger ones. We want to discuss how many people in that